I turned it off, obviously, so it would be shining. There it goes. Just takes a little bit of time to warm up. Well, I'll take this time to maybe just confess my sins before you. How's that sound? I have a couple things I'd like to confess. I've got an addiction. I'm addicted to McDonald's coffee. And this morning as I was coming to church, as I do every morning as I go to work, I pass through McDonald's to get my morning coffee. You say, well, that doesn't sound so bad, but I got to church and fell under a little bit of conviction from our pastor here, because one of the things that they started doing in McDonald's is they've got these freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. And so just this past week, I've slipped even deeper into that. I have to confess, on the way to church this morning, I had two of those cookies. And I really didn't think from there to there that the pastor could smell my breath. He thought it was coming from downstairs. Well, to make matters worse, I ended up at Bob Evans for lunch this afternoon. And, you know, they have bigger cookies at Bob Evans, much bigger. So I ordered a couple of those. And, Pastor.
God bless you, brother.
Yes, sir. We want to see how good of a Christian husband you are, Miss Sonia. She's, you know, you got to split that thing tonight, okay? So that's confession number one. Confession number two is, as we were singing our first hymn this morning, I was looking up and I began to admire Pastor's tie. And I know where your minds are already going. You're thinking, well, he must have been envious. Well, it wasn't quite that bad. But the thought crossed my mind, here's a man from Michigan wearing a scarlet tie. Now, I've got just enough of a Buckeye in me that that thought just crossed my mind. And then we began another verse. And I looked down to start the new verse. you know, God has a way of reversing things on you, right? It's not blue and gold. What is it? Yeah. It's maize, right? Or something like that. Anyway, those are my two confessions for this evening. I've had enough really encouraging words from you folks, and I appreciate the opportunity to do this presentation tonight. Boy, a lot of you have said, we've been looking forward to this. And we want God to show up tonight, amen? This isn't about... this isn't about me. It's about Jesus and what he's able to do when we give our lives to him. And so we want to honor him tonight. And I just want to start out with, this is my life verse. About 6 years ago, you know, and I guess maybe I could start out with a testimony. I do want to get on to the presentation. I'm one of those people, I don't know when I got saved, to be honest with you. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a loving Christian home. I was one of those kids, what do we say, raised on drugs. I got drugged to church every Sunday. Thank God for that. My dad was, still is, Sunday school superintendent. Mom teaches Sunday school, and I'm just thankful that I was raised in a good Christian home. But I never really gave my heart and my life completely to Jesus Christ. Completely. We talked about that this morning. But about 6 years ago, I got down on my knees one day, and I just said, Lord, I'm completely yours. And that's what I did, and I meant it from my heart. And I could stand here and testify for just an hour on what God's done with me in my life since that time. And actually, some of the changes that came over me were so powerful and so real that I even for a while questioned whether or not I had truly been saved as a child. But thank God I'm in a good Bible-believing Baptist church. Where the Word of God is preached, been able to grow and understand, you know, what it means to be a Christian and to live the life, not just, partially, but fully yielded to Christ. And when I got down on my knees that day, I just said, Lord, I don't care where you send me, what you want me to do. I'm willing to leave my job. I have no qualms admitting that this evening. But right now, God's got me in a job. That's where he's keeping me. But this has become my life verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The word manifest there means reveal. If you go back to the translation. And again, I could stand here and tell you some stories, but I don't think we have enough time for that this evening, but I can just tell you God became real to me in some wonderful ways. This is my second life verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Pastor mentioned them originally from down around the Marietta, Belpre area. I actually grew up on a farm in New Matamoros. Went to Frontier High School. We used to come up here and get thrashed by the Colts when I was in high school, but thank goodness those days are over. Good man working by the Lord. Delighteth in his way. Before I took this job, I prayed about it. I sought counsel from my pastor. I would encourage you to do those things if you're in the midst of making a life choice. And this is a verse that I probably heard who knows how many times, but that day as I was, there's a theme here, took Pastor Bob Evans. I like Bob Evans. He sat across from me and we talked about what the Lord would have me to do. We prayed about it and he just quoted this verse and it just everything to me. By the way, this is a good verse for things like when you're stuck in traffic. Amen. When you're at Walmart and the line's 20 people long, the Lord's ordering your step. And so this has helped me just to have patience in those situations. Pastor already mentioned, I'm from Calvary Community Church, Belpre, Ohio. This is my pastor, Kent Fullerton. Don't you thank the Lord for godly pastors. Boy, we need them. And thank the Lord for Pastor Ken, Pastor Leafley, and all the pastor friends that I have. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what I do. So this is where the Lord's called me. It's a little technology park that you've all driven by, all you ladies that like to go to Cabela's. This is about 2 miles from Cabela's. Right there along I-70, you've driven past it many times. I know you've seen it, there's just no way to miss it, you can see there. But that's where I work, that's where the Lord's called me. And part of what we do is we mostly work on Department of Defense applications and aerospace applications. My job is to manage some of those government contracts and to go out and to work with aerospace and defense customers to find new business for my company. So here's just an example of one of the things that we did a few years ago. A lot of the aerospace products, if you will, aircraft, are now being made out of new sort of innovative carbon materials. They're just lighter weight and very strong compared to traditional metals like titanium and aluminum that would normally be used. And so just to give you a little application, if you're familiar with the fishing rods, for example, that you would buy at Cabela's, those ugly sticks they call them, you can bend halfway down. Yeah, without breaking. That's a carbon fiber material, and that's the same type of material that they're now using to build aircraft these days. Not 100%, but about, in a lot of the aircraft, about 50% carbon fiber. And so here's a project that we've been working on. We haven't been able to land this business yet, but it just gives you a little bit of a feel for what the Lord has me doing. So the rear, this bottom right-hand picture, these little fins sticking out, they call that the horizontal stabilizer of the aircraft. This is the big Boeing 787. If you happen to follow this industry for any reason, this is the big aircraft that they've been trying to develop. I've lost track of time. Probably 7 or 8, 10 years now with stops and starts. But anyway, that just gives you a little bit of feel for what I'm out doing for my company. Whenever I travel in business, I try to set some goals. One of the things I want to do is I want to be a good representative for my company. I want to be professional. I want to dress professionally. I want to act professionally, and I want to do a good job. Whenever I go out on the road, there's an investment there by my company, and in some cases, your tax dollars, to be honest with you, setting out to establish new business for our company. So we don't want to waste time and money when we're on the road. I also want to make an accurate accounting of my time and expenditures. So if you're here tonight and you punch a time clock, fill out a timesheet, whatever that is, you know, God's looking at all that, and he sees it. And one of these days, you and I are going to have to stand before a righteous and holy God and give an account for not a few things done in our flesh, but everything. And so he's looking at how we fill out our timesheets and what we're doing with our expenditures. When I travel abroad, I have a goal. I want to be a good representative for the United States of America. You may find this hard to believe, but you can't really believe everything that you see on TV. That might be a revelation, right? But you can't believe everything you see on TV. And so there are perceptions when you go abroad that somebody might have of the United States of America. And I want to do everything I can to make that right. And so I take every opportunity to do that. And then last, but certainly not least, I want to be a good representative for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the ways that I do that, we heard Pastor introduce some folks tonight. This is what I like to do as well. Find a good church when you're away from home. I do thank God in America. All I got to do is go to Google, and I put in IFB. And you know what? I can find a good Fundamental Baptist Church just about everywhere that I go in the United States. Not quite the case when you travel abroad, but I do thank the Lord for being able to find a good church away from home. Only had one bad experience. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I did that one time when I was in Phoenix. I forget the name of the church. I know the pastor's name is Stephen something or other. It was just really bad, to be honest with you. You know, we got to be careful. We can have the right doctrine with the wrong spirit. Amen? We have to have the right spirit about us. And that church, I wouldn't take my dog there, to be honest with you. But thank the Lord, every time that I've been out, you know, other than that one, I found a good place to have fellowship and be strengthened on the road and just to be encouraged. We also want to touch the lives of other people. Amen? That's what Jesus did. He touched lives of people. And then I also want to find creative ways to be a witness. And primarily what I do is use gospel tracts. And thank God for this church. Every time I'm able to be here, I'm the track thief. And I'm thankful that those tracts are out there. I probably have given away as many gospel tracts from Bible Baptist Church as I have any other one. I just, you know, you sort of hope for that time when Pastor gets a call from somewhere out in who knows where and says, how in the world did your track get in Phoenix, Arizona or California? But thank God for churches that really support their lay people with gospel tracts. It's a good way to open up a conversation anytime you're trying to be a witness. So what we want to take you through tonight is the longest trip I've been on in my career has been, it was last November, and my plan was to go, first it started out as a two-week trip, and then it snowballed into a three-week trip, and then I went to see our CEO to get my trip approval signed off on, and she said, well, why aren't you going to France? And so then it snowballed into a four-week trip, and to be honest with you, I was a little upset. I missed Thanksgiving with my family, but I just, you know, I have to trust in those verses, right, that we just talked about. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so that's what I did. And I just yielded to it. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight is just that four-week trip during that time. But one of the things that we're doing is we're working with a company in Turkey. The name of the company is Turkish Aerospace Systems, TAI. So I wanted to get gospel tracts in all the languages of the different countries that I'll be visiting. And so then, of course, I also wanted to find a good church home. So if you go to Turkey, at the time, I guess I didn't realize how difficult it would be, but Turkey's basically a Muslim country. And so I sent this email to a missionary friend and just said, hey, can you help me find a good church home while I'm in Turkey? I'm going to be in the Ankara area. And you can see his response here. We don't have any preachers in that region of Turkey. The closest we have is in Antioch, which is a great distance and is actually not there at this time. He's not a Turk, and he's in hiding with his family in his home country. The others we have there are Kurdish and are much greater distance from Ankara. At this time, they are scattered to the winds and hiding. Sorry I can't help you, but have a great trip. This was not the most encouraging thing that I found in preparation. So I sent an email back, and as I look at what I wrote here, one of the things I hate about email is you can't see the person's face, you can't hear the tone of their voice. And as I reread this now, I'm a little worried that it came across the wrong way. But I'm just passionate about winning souls to Christ. That's one of the things that God gave me is, as I yielded my life to Him, was a real desire to share the gospel and to be a soul winner for Christ. And I just said my impression is that I need to be careful and discreet, but I've already ordered 100 Turkish chick tracks, and I fully intend to make sure that every one of them gets dispersed. And so I don't know if that sounded very good, but it is what it is. He gave me a nice response. He says, you're right, do be careful and ask for the Lord's leading in passing out the tracts. Turkey is not so dangerous as other places, especially in Ankara and Istanbul, but you don't want to flaunt your faith. It's a little hard to do if you're not going to hand out tracts. But he goes on to say, their day is coming to a boiling point soon and will be the center of a war, most likely against Iran or Israel. National fervor in Turkey is at an all-time high and swelling, so you don't want to flaunt that you are an American either. I found that's very difficult for me to do. For whatever reason, I look American. People just pick it out. It must be the way you dress or whatever, but people know when they see an American. Turkey has long been a secular Islamist state, but recent elections and growing pressure is changing all that. At this time, they're looking for something that they can use to bring them to a place of leadership in the Islamic world, and a war with Israel is just a ticket. That's why they keep threatening to send more relief ships to Palestine. So he just says, get in, do your business, and get out. You should be safe. He doesn't say you will be safe. You should be safe and have no problems. Enjoy the history. Turkey is where we were first called Christians. And so I went off on my journey. So this just kind of shows the schedule here. The different colors, each of those yellow blocks basically shows a transition by flight to a different country. And so I started out that first week in the light blue there. I landed in London, spent the first 4 or 5 days there in London. Then I drove up to Scotland. From there I flew over to Belfast, Northern Ireland, spent a few days there. From there I flew to Warsaw, Poland. And then from Warsaw, I had some business about halfway between Warsaw and Krakow. And I ended up spending that weekend there in Krakow. And then from there, I flew just for a one-day meeting to Madrid, Spain. And then from Madrid, I went to Turkey. And then from Turkey to France. And then from France, I came home. I thought there might be some young folks tonight that might just... wonder where Europe is. Well, it's about 4,000 miles across that big pond there they call the Atlantic Ocean. So there's your little geography lesson for this evening. So again, I landed first in London. And I will say that, I didn't start out this journey preparing or thinking about making this presentation or making the presentation to my home church. So I don't really have a lot of slides on England. It was only as I began my journey, God just began to lay on my heart, hey, some of the folks back home might enjoy being able to see, some things from other countries where they wouldn't have a chance to go to, and, an opportunity to share what God's doing through me and in my job. So I don't have a lot of slides to show you from England, but one of the things that I've started to do is I just kind of made it a goal that the first person that I have an opportunity to speak to when I get off the airplane, I want to witness to that person. So I kind of set that as a goal, and it normally ends up being, you know, at the car rental counter. So you land in an airplane, you got to go somewhere. There's always a car rental waiting for you. But this particular time, after 7 or 8 hours, my first stop was not at the car rental counter. I had to go to the men's room. And so there was a restroom attendant there, and I just share with you that I was able to share the gospel with him. I believe he was a saved man. But it was, you know, it's always good, even when you're witnessing and you get encouraged when you run across another Christian, you know. So this is outside of London Heathrow Airport. I'm standing next to my car rental. That's some of my luggage there in front of you that you can see. I had a lot of stuff to take with me for 4 full weeks. And there's a little sign here that you can't see. We're going to have a little bit of audience participation this evening and have a little bit of fun in church. That's okay, by the way, to have a little bit of fun in church. That little sign there says, Way Out. And so one of the things that I really enjoyed about being in the United Kingdom was how they use the same language that we use, just in some different ways. So some of the signs are a little bit catchy. And I thought, you know, that sounds like it sounds like a phrase that Pastor would have used when he was in high school, right? Way out. We heard a little bit about that this morning. So here's my way out ride that I had for a week or so. It was just a little Peugeot, the hatchback there. So we're going to take a little audience participation here. One of the signs that I kept seeing was something about lorries. And I'm just going to ask if anybody happens to know what a lorry is. Any guesses? It's a truck. Yes, I had to cover up that part because I didn't want to give it away. Yeah, it was. It's. By the way, my wife's name is Lori. And so, yeah, you know exactly where this is going, don't you? So I called her that night. Honey, guess what? I found out what your name means. Click. So I called her back. No, I'm just kidding. So the next part of my business trip was driving from this city of Bristol up to a city called Birmingham, about an hour and a half drive. I don't encourage people to do everything that I do. This is driving on the left-hand side of the road while taking pictures. And so anyway, it's just I really enjoy, one of the things I enjoy is I like getting involved in the local culture. I love driving on the left-hand side of the road. We're going to talk about roundabouts. You guys probably already know what roundabouts are. That's the only thing in Europe that I'd like to translate to the United States. I love roundabouts. But driving on the left-hand side of the road with a stick shift, what a challenge. But really enjoyed that. So one of the things that I did in Birmingham was I just was at a trade show for 3 days. And these are some of the folks that I met at the trade show. The reason I left this slide in is if you look at their lapels, for the whole month of November in all of the United Kingdom, they honor their veterans by wearing these little poppies. And you can get a poppy just about anywhere. And what they do is you make a small donation in a little box, you get your poppy and you wear it around, and they take that money and they use it to support their veterans. And I thought that was a neat thing. Excuse me. And I was asking these folks, where can I get a poppy? I want to wear a poppy. I want to honor those, you know, if nothing else, those British soldiers that fought beside our American soldiers in World War II. You know, I mentioned earlier, I want to be a good representative for the United States of America. And so the gentleman here, standing on the right-hand side next to the lady, gave me his poppy. So that was just kind of a neat little thing. That evening there, it was on a Wednesday, I was able to spend Wednesday night at Bethel Free Baptist Church there in Birmingham, England. The pastor there is Larry Curtis. I didn't get a chance to meet him. He was on furlough back in the States. He's out of a church down in North Carolina, and had a chance to get in touch with him by email since I left. These were the folks that I worshiped with that evening. Gentleman here, his name is Peter. He led the Bible study for the evening, really did a nice job. And my impression is he and this gentleman here, Brother Steve, are kind of the right-hand men for Pastor Curtis. And we just had a nice time. Brother Steve got his guitar out. We played some songs. Really interesting to sing different songs, you know, in other countries. Didn't know any of the ones that we were singing, but it was a blessing. The reason I got in touch with Pastor Curtis was, you see here I've got a gentleman's name, his address, phone number, and email address. Thank the Lord for GPS, especially when you're traveling in a foreign country. And for the entire 4 weeks that I was over there, GPS only failed me one time. And it happened to be trying to get to this Wednesday night service. And so it was, it was in November, so just before 7 o'clock, it had been dark for at least an hour, hour and a half. So I had to stop and start asking for directions. And so as it turns out, Dave Carey is a gentleman that, and this is, if you've ever traveled in some of these countries, forget about asking for directions in Europe. It's just, everything is laid out, so it's difficult. And people, you know, God bless them, they try to give you directions. And this guy was, he was trying to give me directions. And I finally said, Dave, I didn't know his name at that point, but I just said, why don't you hop in the car with me and just show me how to get to this church. And you mean to say, Brother Harry, you were in a foreign country, it was after dark, and you were in the middle of nowhere, and you invited a stranger to get in your car with you? Yes, that's exactly what I did. And this gentleman helped me to get to the church, and we were there a little bit early, and gave me an opportunity to witness to him. And, I've opened the Bible. God's given me opportunity to open the Bible to a lot of people in the last few years, and this is one of those rare occasions where, as I was taking him down Romans Road, every time I would read a passage or show him a passage, he was like he was in awe. You could tell it was the first time that he was hearing this. And, I got him down to Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That kind of rolls off our tongue as Independent Fundamental Baptist, but I'll tell you, it's powerful. And this man was under conviction heavily, and he wouldn't get saved. And I finally just, began to talk to him a little bit, and I said, well, Dave, why don't you just come to church with me tonight, and these folks will help you out. And he wouldn't come inside, and he finally shared with me, he said, I can't come to church. I'm going somewhere sin. That's what he told me. I'm going somewhere to sin. And I said, Dave, can you tell me what's going on in your life? And he didn't go into deep detail, but he told me that he was going to get high. He's going to go smoke some marijuana. And I just talked to him. I said, Dave, Jesus Christ can take that from you. He can make that right. He'll forgive you for that sin. I just talked to him for a while, and you folks that, do soul winning, you know how the devil works on you. I said, Dave, come to church with me. And he said, well, my wife, she's going to wonder where I'm at. The devil starts planting those things in your mind. And so Satan won the battle there that evening. But I've actually tried to call this gentleman probably a half dozen times since I've been back. I've only gotten a hold of him once, and it just happened to be that he was at work. At least that's what he told me, and he couldn't talk. But I followed up with Pastor Curtis and the folks there at that church, and they've got, this address and this phone number. So we need to pray for this gentleman. Isn't it wonderful that you and I can pray for somebody that we really don't even know halfway across the world? God can work, and he can work through that local church, bring this gentleman to Christ. So after my meetings there, I took a five-hour drive north to Prestwick, Scotland. I'll just show you a few pictures. This is one of the really neat things about, being able to to be overseas. You get to see a lot of things that you don't see here in America. This is just an old church room. As you can see, the company that I was visiting is actually right behind this old church. I don't know what the history was. There were really no plaques there. I trampled around that graveyard a little bit, looking for a few relatives maybe. Found this thing, might be of interest to you. This particular area, there was a famous poet by the name of Robert Burns. I'm not into poetry, but if you like poetry, maybe you know that name. But apparently, this is where one of the relatives of Robert Burns was buried. This is just a typical little Scottish town. See the little homes there. This is actually a school right here. This is their little post office, Moncton, right outside of Prestwick. You look at this slide, you might say, well, really nothing interesting about that. But if you look at this little sign right here, Fullerton Drive. Now, this may sound a little crazy, but I mentioned to you earlier, I really didn't start out this trip planning to make a presentation to my home church. This is my pastor's last name, Fullerton. And so I don't believe in luck. Amen? I don't believe in coincidence. And so from that point on in my journey, I just sort of knew that God would have me do that. And so when I got home, I talked to Pastor Fullerton about it. One of the things that he's been doing is for the last few years is during Christmas time, we'll take a Sunday evening and every person gets up and gives a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ just by sharing a testimony, maybe a Bible verse, maybe a song, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But it's 5 or 10 minutes. So when I got back, it was, close to Christmas and they were doing that planning. And I just told my pastor, I said, I'd like to do this presentation. I'd like to do this as a gift to the Lord, but I can't do it on the night, and take up the whole service. And so he set up a part of special night. I'm sure to appreciate that. Just another photo of driving on the left-hand side of the road. And this is going into a roundabout. One of the things that you don't know about me, I don't think, is I used to really be into whitewater kayaking. I like adventure. I like high-energy things. And so I kind of liken these roundabouts a little bit to like high-adventure whitewater kayaking. They're really small ones that are really easy to get through. And in the world of whitewater rafting, whitewater kayaking, you have these different classes of rapids. It starts at class one with the easy ones, and as you progress and get up into bigger whitewater, it turns into class five, class six whitewater. And so I kind of use the analogy, some of these roundabouts can be like a class four, class five trying to get through them. Some of them are as big as a full city block, and they've got stoplights in the middle of them and six lanes wide. And but this is just about a class one or class two roundabout. I also love golf, and so you're right there in the middle of the home of golf, Scotland, and as it turns out, the claim to the oldest golf course in the world is there in Prestwick. And it's a little bit hard to read, but it says that basically this is where the first Open Championship was held in Scotland back in 1860. I think about golf, I think about, Tiger Woods. And if you follow golf at all, that Tiger, got into some trouble a few years ago. His family is now split up. Thank God that there was, I don't remember who the commentator was, but there was one commentator that stepped up and made a comment publicly on the air and said, Tiger, you need to recognize that God can forgive you for everything that you've done. And praise the Lord for somebody that had the boldness to make that statement publicly. Wouldn't it be good if Tiger Woods got saved? Imagine the impact that somebody like a Tiger Woods could have for Jesus Christ in that role. So this was after my meeting. I just went out driving through the countryside. I was actually heading toward a castle that I wanted to see. And boy, God just took me through some beautiful countryside. And isn't that glorious? Old church there, I have no idea how old that church is. I mean, it could be 500 years, it could be 700, it's old. There's sheep in the background there. just remind me of the precious Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Just another beautiful coastline there in Scotland. One of the things that they do a really nice job of in the UK is they keep everything really neat. And I always wondered, a few times I've been over there, how do they have time to take those hedges and get them so square and so neat? Well, I ran across this, and I came off the farm, so I'm still fascinated with tractors and some of that kind of thing. So anyway, just something interesting. This is just a castle there, big mansion. You'll see all kinds of things like that. God allows you to travel around a little bit. Here's another one of those little signs that I find interesting. This is a passing place. Just in case you didn't know, that little white line up the middle of the road that's dotted is for passing. Good opportunity to remind ourselves that you and I, if we're saved, one day came to a passing place. We pass from death unto life, amen? And so as we look around, you know, as I travel around, I always look for those kinds of things and how it can relate to the Bible and spiritual matters. One of the things that, and this is all very, I'll call it random, I really had no agenda here, I'm just driving, just trying to see what I can see here before dark. Came across this old church ruin, this old graveyard, really intriguing, and we'll read this plaque. You'll find this interesting. An ancient burying ground, now world famous for the graves of the characters from Robert Burns, that's the poet, fictitious poem, Tam O'Shanter. Curtin Jean, Souter Johnny, and Tam himself being buried here in this graveyard. Also, according to legend, this is where St. Oswald fought a great battle in 634 A.D., and in thanks to God for victory, built a church on the site of this early shrine. The monks of Crossraguel Abbey built a church of stone in 1244, the remains of which can still be seen today. So that church was built in 1244. So it's getting better here, I promise. Quentin Kennedy, abbot of Crossraguel, and John Knox, Scotland's greatest reformer, preached against each other's doctrine here in 1562. And so I left this in. I thought you might like to see that. And it was here that the young Robert Burns, you know, they make more of a big deal out of Robert Burns, but I like the fact that John Knox preached in that old church. This is another one of those little signs. So the hotel where I was staying, this is right outside my hotel door. You can see this is a little bit of a low-hanging area. So one of the things that they put up was a little sign that says, "Mind your head." I thought that was all right. So down in the lobby, this is over a weekend on a Saturday, I guess, there was a group of folks there, they were having a wedding. And so in Scotland, you can imagine they don't dress up in tuxedos, they dress up in their kilts. And so I was able to get a picture with these folks. One of the things that I try to do is, I always try to leave tracks and a little bit of a tip for the person who, you know, is left responsible for cleaning the room. And I thank God for those folks. You know, it's nice to be able to come back to a clean room in the evening. And just thought I'd show you a little bit about how I go about trying to be a blessing to folks that do that job. Of course, we want to try to win people to Christ. And so I'll, first of all, always look for a Gideon's Bible. I know it's not King James. We talked about that a little bit earlier tonight, but if you turn to their Romans 10, 9, and 10, it's okay. You know, it's better than nothing, I guess, is what I say. But you can see what I write here. Something like this. "Please accept my sincere thank you for attending to my room. Everything was perfect. Scotland is such a blessed country. God has been good to your people. As well, I'd like to share with you the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary in order that you and I could receive forgiveness of our sins and be saved. If you have never called upon him, please do so today in the quietness of your own heart. And he will save you at the very moment that you will call upon him and receive him into your life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I always try to leave a little tip there. Let him know that you're serious. This is just another example of one that I left a few, 6 or 8 weeks ago. I had an opportunity to be out in the Los Angeles area. calling on a customer. Actually, it ended up being up near, you're going to have to help me out, Pastor, where Paul Chapman is, Lancaster Baptist Church. And so it was a real blessing to be able to be there over that weekend. I was able to be in their morning services. On Monday when I had my meeting, I finished in the morning, had the rest of the day to myself, so I was able to go back to the campus and sit in on a couple of their classes that they had going on, and then their chapel service. So that was a real blessing. But one of the things that I also try to do is wherever that local church is that God's given me the opportunity to attend, I always try to get some of their tracts and pass out some of their tracts. And so you can see here Iglesia Bautista. They have a Spanish ministry going on there. There's a lot of Hispanics in that particular area, as you probably already know. And so I wasn't sure. I left a Spanish and an English gospel tract for these folks. This is just another example. One of the things that I really do like the chick tracts. You probably already know that one of the chick tracts one of the things that they say on their website and in their literature is chick tracts get read. And my experience is that that's very true. Here's another little sign, kind of interesting, dual carriageway. The next time you get out on 77 out here, remember you're not getting on an interstate, you're driving out on a carriageway. What this reminded me of is that, you know, there are two paths, right? There's a narrow path that leads to righteousness, and there's a broad way that leads to destruction. And so when I saw this sign, that was kind of the passage that came to my mind. It's just another example of some of the countryside. You'll see a lot of sheep, just a lot of sheep. Pulled off to the side of the road to take a few pictures. It was only just one car width wide. Thank the Lord that he showed us the way out here. In England, you don't rent a car, you hire a car. So my next part of the trip was going from Glasgow, Scotland, over to Belfast, Northern Ireland. You're going to like this. So when you when you land in the Belfast International Airport, right near the car rental agencies, there's something called a quiet room. And there's a space there for everyone. I don't even know what half of these things are. I know that's called a yin-yang, probably for obvious reasons, but I have no idea what it means or what it's about. But you can see the Jewish star there. I'm assuming maybe this is Arabic for the Muslim faith. I don't know. You know, this doesn't belong there with those. Jesus is the name that's above every name. But I left this in here. It's interesting. I can say I've been traveling to Europe now. I guess I've kind of lost track, at least for 15, 16 years. What I'll say is every time I go back, what I see is societies that are getting further and further away from God, further away from the truth, further away from the gospel. And quite honestly, the things that I was seeing in Europe 15 years ago that I never thought would come to America, they're here. And whether we like it or not, folks, this is where our nation is heading. And we have a saying in the business world. For example, I'm trying to run this part of our business we call the seafoam business, and I always kind of tell our guys, you know, if this business is going to fail, I don't want it to be on my watch. And if America is going to go down the tubes and go this direction, you and I ought to have something in our hearts and our minds that says, not on my watch. Right? I mean, we ought to be out fighting this thing. And God give us the boldness to go out and fight against this thing. But you can read here, the quiet room is intended as a space for private reflection or prayer within the busy complex. It symbolizes the need that many people feel for a still center to their lives in the midst of the demands of a bustling existence. The quiet room recognizes the increasingly pluralistic character of Northern Irish society and of the traveling public. All are welcome to the quiet room, and it is hoped that any who wish to use the facility, whether members of a religious tradition or of none, will find its ambiance at once inviting and non-invasive. Amenities such as washing facilities, prayer mats, and various items of literature have been provided for those who require them. For the comfort and convenience of all concerned, noise levels should be kept at a minimum, and patrons should refrain from consuming food or drink and turn off all mobile phones within the accommodation. The quiet room is not intended as a place of organized worship and should not be used for purposes of proselytism or the promotion of any particular religious or philosophical perspective. That's scary to me. That's scary. But you can see that starting to come here to America, folks. So I was able to find a really good, another Bethel Baptist Church, Pastor Bill Cosby, different spelling than the Bill Cosby we know here in the U.S., and a more godly man as well, but really a really good fundamental church. I'd been over there back in April of last year, and so I'd already met these folks, and I'd sent him an email before I came over, and let him know I'd be back, and graciously invited me over to have lunch at their house. This is his wife, Miss Nancy. Just godly folks, and it's good to, it's just really good when you're away from home, and you need that good fellowship, and it was a blessing to be able to be in their home. So, in keeping with a good Baptist tradition, we have to talk a little bit about food. And so, Miss Nancy didn't serve this thing family style, you know, where you pass around. She just set the plate in front of you, and this is what was on it. And by God's grace, I had to sit there and eat all of this. And can I just say, it was wonderful, it was delicious. And you know, it's probably the only time in my life that, you know, you're in Ireland because you've got mashed potatoes and roasted potatoes. And so two potatoes on one plate. Well, it was wonderful and a real blessing. This is a gentleman by the name of Ian Patterson that I had a chance to witness to. Ian is a saved man. He's Presbyterian. So we wouldn't obviously line up with all doctrine, but he knows the Lord. And it was a blessing to talk to him. This is just a view outside of my hotel window. So I mentioned one of the things I like to try to do is get church tracts from the local churches where I'm attending. So I got about 25 tracts from Pastor Cosby, and I was able to go out into this little neighborhood and spend a couple of hours one evening distributing all those tracts. This is some of their folks. So there's a little test here. What do you notice about all the ladies in this? One of the things that they do, they're very conservative. And all their ladies are expected to have their heads covered in their services. And they take communion every Sunday. And so just good folks. Down to earth, salt of the earth. You can see small crowd, older crowd, but they love the Lord, and it's a blessing to be able to be with them when I've been over there a couple of times. So the next leg of the trip was going to Warsaw, Poland. I think I already mentioned one of the things I try to do is try to get tracks ahead of time. You'll recognize that as being This Is Your Life, or This Was Your Life, from Chick Tracks. So I got several of those in the Polish language. This is just when I flew into Warsaw, it was dark. I was actually picked up by not a customer that we're working with, but a gentleman that we're trying to do some business with over there, and he took me in to see several customers that I'm trying to have business with there. So for the first few days, so you can see it's the first time on the trip that all of a sudden you're in a non-English speaking country, and so everything's kind of new and different here. But this is kind of my first look at Poland when I get up in the morning. Again, this is November time frame, so there's a nice frost on the ground. This is the hotel where I stayed in. This is just a look at a typical Polish town. A lot of people ride bicycles, not just in Poland, but all over Europe. So the gentleman I was with, Darius was his name, he was doing all the driving at this point, so I was able to snap a few pictures. In general, what I would say is the church is really dead in Europe all over. I know you probably already know that. Of course, there's a lot of Roman Catholicism all over Europe. And even what you hear is even the Roman Catholic Church has really become fairly weak in Europe. But I will say this, in Poland, the Roman Catholic Church is extremely strong, and their churches are full on Sundays, which is not the same as the other Roman Catholic churches in other parts of Europe. Of course, we all know the problem you can see here. If you can make that out, that's an image of, or a picture there of Pope John Paul II, who was, of course, Polish. And it's probably the first time I really realized or seen firsthand how much they really put the Pope up as being almost God, you know, and literally worship the Pope. This is a small town that we stopped in just to poke around a little bit, show me a few things. Big Catholic church. So this picture was actually taken from this church, so it's just these are right across the valley from each other. But big Roman Catholic church, churches everywhere. I like to go inside these churches. Just, you know, obviously we don't line up with them doctrinally, not even close, but to me it's interesting to be able to go into a church that was built back in 1668, see what it looks like on the inside. And just appreciate, you know, God-given talent that people were able to do 400, 500, 600 years ago and be able to build these beautiful kinds of structures. Again, we don't want to, we're not honoring their doctrine in any way, but just appreciating what talent God gives people to be able to do things and creativity that's there. I like the old cities in Europe, being able to walk up and down these cobblestone streets and see, you know, a lot of the structures that are still there from literally centuries ago. This is, I think, a town well here in the middle where you know, they would come and get water or whatever. Time for a short story. So my goal was to get the crack open. By God's grace, the meeting that I had, I just had one meeting in Poland. It was halfway between Warsaw and Krakow. And one of the desires that I've always had in my heart has been to go see Auschwitz-Birkenau, you know, one of the concentration camps, one of the main concentration camps from World War II. And I mentioned earlier that I always want to try to be, I want to be right with the way I'm spending my time and my expenses on my business trips. And so I literally had the option, without wasting any time or any of my company's money, to either fly back out of Warsaw or to get down to Krakow to fly out, because it was literally just about the same distance. And so after my meeting, I was driving toward Krakow. My plan was to try to get there that night, just with jet lag and time change, and I was just kind of worn out. I couldn't make it, so I just literally stopped at this little hotel and got a room there for the night. This is the first day that I was without somebody who could interpret for me, and so I had to order my meal just kind of with some guesswork. Now, I think I may have mentioned I'm an old farm boy, and they set something in front of me that when I took a bite of it, tasted like lard. And I was able to find out later that that's basically exactly what it was. It was a lard dish. And so I poked around on the internet, found this after I got back, but it's something they call smolets. And you can read here, it's an old country style, cold weather, energy boosting, began making a comeback among highly urbanized Poles during the end of the 20th century. But basically what you do is take 2.25 pounds of pork fat, put a few things in it, and then you call it good. And it's wonderful for spreading on bread, apparently. I'll be honest with you, I didn't care for smolets. But it was just one of those little experiences that I had. One of the other things I found out that really comes in handy, so this is my first experience, at least on this trip, but trying to order something. I know nothing of the Polish language, but there are some universal languages. Brother Daryl can appreciate this. I wanted some beef. And so I finally just, you know, that's a universal language. And guess what? The face lights up, the server knows exactly what you're after, and so I got some good beef that night. So as I was driving down the road, it's interesting to see, I kept seeing these big piles of whatever this crop is, and I couldn't figure out what it was, so I finally just My curiosity got the best of me, and I stopped and picked one of these rascals up. You can see the size of it there, pretty big. I thought originally they might be potatoes, but it turns out that it's a type of beet that they grow over there. So you just be driving down the highway and see all these big piles of an abundant crop. It must have been a good year for those beets, whatever kind of beets they are. This is a sign for a roundabout. So as I was driving toward Krakow, I passed this horse and carriage here and took the opportunity to pull over and take a picture. And as they came by me, they could tell I was a crazy American, and they stopped for a minute. We chatted. I don't know what they said. They don't know what I said, but I was able to give them a gospel tract. You can see as they pulled away here, chick tracks get red. And if I've handed one of these things out, I don't know how many I've handed out, but people almost immediately start reading those chick tracks. And so each one of those folks have a chick track. Wouldn't it be good someday if, you know, you get to heaven and one of those people said they got saved? Wouldn't that be good? So I drove on down the road, and I guess I'm intrigued with these big old churches. So I stopped here. I was hoping maybe the door would be open, go inside, and just kind of poke around a little bit. But here you can see what I think are a grandma and a granddaughter is my guess. So I gave them chick tracks. And how do I describe what happened here? This lady, I won't say she got in my face. She wasn't belligerent. She wasn't angry. But she was very passionate. And I'd give $1 million to know what she said to me, but I have no idea. But it's really funny. People, what I found is people will just start talking to you and they'll speak their mind and they know you can't understand, but they just keep going on anyway. But wouldn't it be good if someday in heaven, you know, those two ladies walked up and said, I got saved? It'd be good, wouldn't it? One of the things that I saw there that I've never seen anywhere else is along their farmlands, properties, they'll put up these little shrines, I guess you call them. They're all, it's all about Roman Catholicism. I don't really know the meaning behind it, but you see a lot of that as you drive down the highway. Another roundabout heading toward Krakow. One of the things that I try to do is, you know, if I'm in a big city like Warsaw, London, I just feel more compelled to go out to the highways and the hedges. Because anytime you're in a big city, there's always somebody trying to push something. You know what I'm saying? So I sort of feel like you're competing with who knows whatever else is being pushed in those big bustling areas. So I just like to go out in the countryside, highways and hedges, find these little villages, and just go into these little villages and try to spread the gospel wherever the Lord leads me. And so I took this little beaten path here to this little village called Piestrich. I guess is maybe how you say that. God just allowed me to go out into these little villages and give out tracts and try to honor Him. These are just pictures leading up to this little village. You can see the village here in the background. This is the Piestra. This is the city limits, I guess. I don't know. but most of these little villages, you know, just common folks. I don't have many pictures there. I've never really done this before, and so it was a little new to me or strange to try to ask people to take their pictures, you know, as you're trying to give them the gospel. And so I don't have a lot of pictures there. But one of the things that the Lord allowed me to do, there was, I guess this is their version of the Schwann's man. He goes out on Saturday, but this is a Saturday morning, and he goes around to the little farm villages, and little farm wives come out and, you know, get their groceries for the week or a few things. And so I was able to give this this lady here a gospel tract. I was able to witness to the gentleman that worked in this this truck, and he actually spoke a little bit of English, so that helped. And I was able to get, you know, I think a pretty clear gospel message to him. And while I was doing that, there was a gentleman that came up in the opposite direction here, stopped his car, wanted to buy a few things, and I was able to give him a gospel tract. And so just praise the Lord for those opportunities. Well, wouldn't it be good if someday in heaven, you know, one of these people, you give a gospel tract, be able to walk up to you and say, you know, I got saved. And you gave me that gospel tract. One of the things I noticed was, didn't see any longhorns over there, brother. But I saw a few milk cows, but mostly as you drive down the highway, you just see big, I just saw big fields of, you know, these beets and other types of crop. I saw hardly any livestock, so I just stopped, took a picture of these couple of cows. I really couldn't get their attention, so I had to make that sound again. Well, I got their attention, and she stood there and gave me a nice picture. That's a milk cow, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Not a beef cow. So this is in Krakow. This is looking out of the my hotel window. This is a famous castle here in the top of the picture, called Wawel Castle. I forget now. It goes back to about 1100 or 1200. What you see sticking up there is that's the Catholic Church within the walls of that castle. This is just an inner court on that castle. This is a what I consider to be a very sad picture. I think you'll agree with me. There's a statue here of Pope John Paul II. Here's a crowd of people that you know, just want to have their picture taken in front of that statue. Praise God that we know the truth. And you know, I don't know if you have Roman Catholic friends, but we need to help them. We need to pray for them. We need to lovingly share the gospel with them and try our best to bring them to the knowledge of the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help them understand that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You're not allowed to take pictures inside the church, so I stole this off the web. I don't even know where to start with trying to describe the inside of this church. Just you can see the picture kind of speaks for itself. I will say I had an interesting experience. It was Saturday night when I was here, and they were getting ready to start their Saturday night mass. And so, of course, by the way, you have to pay to get up in here. You won't find that as a surprise. But as they were getting ready to start their Saturday night mass, they were trying to flush out all the tourists like me. And I just started thinking, there was like a nun there that was, I didn't speak Polish, she didn't speak English, but you could tell she just wanted me to get out of the church. You know, if they had the truth, they should have been inviting me to church. Amen? They shouldn't have been kicking me out. They should have been inviting me to church, share that thing. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Praise the Lord, I was able to find a good independent Baptist church there in Krakow. The pastor, this is off their website, the pastor is here, his name is Robert Sulik. I think in this picture this is his wife here, but this is their Sunday morning crowd, not all of it. By the time I was able to get this picture with them, some of their folks had left, but this is the pastor here. His wife in this picture, let me find her. Here. Her name is Janelle, I believe, if I remember right. Janelle's from the States. I don't remember the pastor's testimony exactly, but when he got saved, you know, God called him into the ministry, and he came to the U.S. and went to Bob Jones University, and that's where he met Miss Janelle. And as it turns out, Miss Janelle is from a church in South Carolina. I've got a younger brother that lives near Charleston, and so when we get down to visit him and go on vacation, I found a good church there. It's called Northside Baptist in North Charleston. And her dad is the minister of education there. He takes care of their school. He's in charge of their school. And so it was really neat to be clear over in Poland and you know, find that connection from someone back home. This is just one of their kids. They were playing. I love kids. Well, don't you love kids? Jesus loves kids. Don't forget that. And I love what Pastor said this morning. This bus ministry that all of our Baptist churches have, it's about changing people's lives and getting the Word of God into these kids. And we need to be about the Father's business. This little guy here, he was a buddy with, this is the pastor's daughter here, Miss Amelia is her name. This poor little guy is, he's just one of those sort of what we call a bus kid here. The pastor and his wife pick him up on Sundays, and poor little guy was crying after church because he wanted to go home to his mom and dad. And the pastor and his family invited me out to lunch afterwards, and they were sharing with me that, you know, both of his parents are strung out on drugs, and they just kind of do the best they can to look after him and bring him to church. And why don't you thank God for that? Just trying to make an impact in people's lives. And so that's the pastor and his family there. Again, just it's such a breath of fresh air when you're away from home. You're by yourself in a hotel every evening, and you know, you're just thankful that you can find those of like precious faith to spend some time with when you're away. So the next part of the trip is going to Madrid, Spain. We're not going to spend a lot of time here because I didn't spend a lot of time there. I was just there for literally a day. I had a morning meeting, and then I had an opportunity to just go out and see some things. I drove down to city of Toledo. So this is just a good bird's eye view of a roundabout that goes the other way. So they're all over Europe. One of the things that Toledo is famous for is making armor back in the Middle Ages. And so as you walk up and down the streets, you'll see a lot of shops that have these old medieval armor suits and so forth. Big Catholic church there in the city. So now we're going to Turkey, and you're going to wonder what this is. This is a red Tootsie Pop with chocolate in the center. You guys know what those are, right? And you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with anything? Well, the long story short is, every once in a while, I don't like it, but my job just requires me to have to work on a Sunday. And when I have to do that, we are just a few miles from South Wheeling there, and if you know Pastor Jeff Benedict by any chance, he's got that ministry there in South Wheeling, Metropolitan Baptist Church. So whenever I have to go to work on Sunday, I always try to go down and worship with those folks. And I don't know if you guys would know his kind of right-hand man. One of his right-hand men is a gentleman by the name of Don Oldfield. And Don Oldfield, if you ever sit in Don Oldfield's Sunday school class, he likes to have a little bit of fun. And one of the things that he'll do is, if you ask the question and you get the answer right, he likes to hand out these lollipops. Actually, he doesn't hand them out, he throws them to you. So you got to sort of have a heads up when you're in Don's Sunday school class. But I've had this thing in my pocket probably, I don't know how long, probably 6, 8, 10 months. Whenever it was the last time that I had been in that church, and I just happened to reach in my pocket and I found this thing. I thought, I've forgotten all about this thing. This is one of Brother Don's lollipops. And you know, I was sitting here, this is in the Istanbul airport, I was waiting for a flight connection, and as I rediscovered that lollipop, there are two things that came to my mind. Number one, I couldn't help but think about Brother Don. You know, just for a few minutes there, I just kind of reflected on back home, reflected on Brother Don and what he does for his church, and just thanked the Lord for him. But then I also began to think about something, a concept that I'd like to draw out here. What if when I went overseas, I'm 1,000, 4,000 miles away from home, and, you know, the flesh takes over, and what if I had decided to allow myself to fall into some kind of sin? I thank God I haven't done that, but What if I had allowed that? Pulling this lollipop out of my pocket would have brought conviction. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? How God can use something as small as a lollipop, you know, to speak to your heart and to minister to you. So this is my first day in Ankara, Turkey. What I would say is Ankara is a city of 4 million people, crazy. I don't even know how else to describe it. Take New York City and multiply it times some factor. Here I'm just, it was a chore just to learn how to cross the street, quite honestly. You can see all this traffic here, and one of the things that I learned fairly quickly was just get beside somebody who lives there. You can tell they're Turkish and live in that city, and just kind of follow them. When they cross the street, just go after them. And so I was really proud of myself. After about 3 or 4 days, I was a big boy, and I could actually cross the street all by myself. But what I'm doing here is I'm actually heading up on the top of that hill there. You can sort of see a castle up there. There's a museum I wanted to go to. So I went to this museum. It was really incredible. You see a lot of things that are, you know, BC type of era, like this. One of the things that happened to me in the museum was I had these four ladies come up to me. You can see they're young ladies. I apologize. It's a little blurry. They didn't allow you to take pictures with flash in the museum, but they came up to me and started speaking to me in English. And basically what they were doing is you could tell they were high school students. They were taking an English course, and they had an assignment where they were supposed to go out and talk to somebody in English. So they asked me all these questions. Who are you? Where are you from? You know, and so I answered them and helped them practice their English. But what a great opportunity. I was able to share the gospel, you know, with these four young ladies, give them a gospel tract, share what Jesus Christ could do to save them. Boy, wouldn't it be good if someday you get to heaven and one of these ladies walks up and says, I got saved because you gave me a tract that day and shared the gospel. But I have to end on this. What do you think the last question they asked me was? You won't be surprised when I tell you. Are you on? What are all teenagers doing these days? Facebook. Are you on Facebook? I said, no, ladies, I'm not on Facebook. So again, Turkey's a Muslim country. There's kind of in that the neighborhood where I was located here. This is the sort of main mosque, if you will. So I went up there and poked around a little bit, see if I could get myself in trouble. Doesn't show up here real well, but what I found was those little, I don't know whether they call those steeples or what they are, but all the mosques have those. And just, you can't really see them here, but as you look out over the city, those things are just everywhere. This is going to sound a little odd, but right outside of this mosque, you can see they've got all this stuff that you can purchase, of course. And one of the things that I still to this day, I don't know what these are, but what do those remind you of, those beads there? They remind me of the same thing that the Roman Catholics do. I don't know what they're about, but they're part of the Muslim faith. Sometimes I like to let my mind kind of reel forward. You know, there's coming that time of tribulation after you and I, the saved, that are taken out when you've got the Antichrist who's going to basically bring the world under one world government, one world monetary system, one world religion. How all that's going to happen, you know, we don't know exactly, but I don't know. I just looked at that as kind of a parallel to what goes on in Roman Catholicism. Here are all the books that they can buy, I guess, and learn how to be a better Muslim. So we've got to get back to food a little bit here. Most of you probably know what this is. Can anybody just take a quick guess if you don't know? This is a frame of honey. And back on the farm where I grew up, we actually used to have a couple of beehives. And I've seen a lot of honey, obviously, since then. But this is the first time I've seen honey in a frame since I came off the farm. I thought that was interesting. And this is just something that they had at the breakfast buffet that I took a picture of. So Sunday morning, you know, I want to go out and do something for the Lord. There's no independent Baptist church that I can go to there in the Anchor area. So Sunday morning's a good time and you know, to go out, obviously, and honor the Lord by trying to win people to Christ. I wanted to go inside a mosque, see what it was like. So as I went out to the highways and hedges, I was able to find this one along the road, and I went inside and just kind of took a few photos. There was nobody there at this point, but as it turns out, as I was going in, it must have been their call to prayer, time to prayer, whatever you want to call it. And so I did share a gospel tract with the person who was putting that call to prayer out. It'd be good if he got saved one of these days. Wouldn't that be awesome? See him in heaven? This is what the inside of at least this particular mosque looks like. One of the things I tried to do was just take pictures, you know, of the highways and hedges where I was going so I could remember sort of where I'd been. And so I just went out and just found some villages like I did in Poland. Boy, look at these faces. Those kids need Jesus. And wouldn't it be good someday in heaven to maybe one of those little guys, maybe all of them, and their families walk up and say, boy, I'm glad that you shared the gospel with us. They couldn't speak English. I don't speak Turkish. But just pray that the Lord would work with those tracks. So I'm going out further, just out literally in the middle of nowhere, as you can see here. I like nature. Like rocks. I love rocks, actually. So one of the things that I always bring back with me, I usually have a bag full of rocks. I just like to go out and kick around, find new things, look for fossils, all those kinds of things. One of the things I noticed about this column of rocks is that they're very ordered. And it reminded me of a place that I'd been the first trip to Northern Ireland, in the northern part of the country called the Giant's Causeway. And if you go to Wikipedia, what they'll tell you is that these rock formations were caused by volcanic activity, and somehow all that, when it settled down, cooled down, made the orderly columns that you see there. I'm a scientist. I'm not the best scientist in the world, but I can tell you this. As a scientist, I just believe that God created those rocks just like that. I believe that when he spoke this thing into existence, that's the way he spoke it. And if we give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe it did come from, you know, some volcanic activity, tell me, Mr. and Mrs. Evolutionist, how something could get that ordered when it cooled down. I can't get there. Just like I can't get to any part of evolution, by the way. One of the things that they can't tell you about is first cause. If there was a big bang, there had to be at least two particles that somehow rubbed together to create all this. And you can't get back to first cause. You can't tell me where those first two particles, something had to create those first two particles. I just believe the Bible. I just believe that God spoke it into existence. And so we move on here, further out in the country, and of course, every little village that I came to would just have one little steeple, one little mosque. This is a little town, Tashlika. I don't know how you say that. But you can see the poverty that's there. In this particular village, they were building a little shrine outside their mosque. There were three men here building this little shrine. I gave them a gospel tract. You know, I don't like Muslims coming to the U.S., to be honest with you. I don't like to see that, but you know, there's an opportunity there to witness to these Muslims. We only see the worst on CNN and Fox News. We don't see this. These guys, they were glad to shake my hand. We couldn't dialogue, we couldn't talk, but they didn't hate me. And so I thank the Lord that he did give me this opportunity to be somewhat of a blessing, hopefully, to these folks. But these are just some pictures of these villages. You can see just a lot of poverty. And as I pulled out of this town, there are very few things that make me stop in my tracks. But the sight that I saw here, I don't know if you can see what's ahead of me on the left-hand side of the road, but it stopped me in my tracks. So I stopped the car, waited for, took the zoom on my lens, zoomed up a little closer. Look at this. This little old lady bent over, carrying a stick in one hand, her little bag in the other. And so I waited for her to get up to my car. And of course, we're so blessed in America. The hand automatically goes back to the wallet. I didn't have very many Turkish lira in my pocket. Whatever I had, she got it. It was only like 10 bucks, but I hope it was a blessing to her. But what do you expect to see on this lady's face when she gets up next to my car? I bet you didn't expect that. Does she look unhappy? Brought some conviction to my heart, to be honest with you. How blessed I am to live in America, to know the truth of the gospel, to have a nice home. And you know, I don't know what she was carrying in her little bag. I don't know where she was coming from there. But she was kind of like that lady in Poland. She started talking to me, and you know, I don't know what she said. I tried to get a word in. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. She was just going. And finally I invited her. I said, ma'am, I patted on my seat over here. I said, ma'am, can I give you a ride somewhere? And I patted on my seat. And I don't know what she said other than, no, she pointed up here to these houses. And I think what she said is, no, I just came from down the road here visiting my neighbor. And I just got some flowers and eggs. And, you know, we share with each other. And my husband died maybe 3 years ago, and I just have my little meal, and I'm just going up into my little home. It's just right up here. But thanks anyway. I don't know what she said. I'm just making all that up. But she looks happy. Isn't that something that somebody who presumably is lost can still find happiness in this world? You and I don't have too much to be unhappy about here in America. Okay. We're getting close here. Other than the fact that it stuck. All right. Well, we may be finished anyway. There we go. Yeah, so I'll just skip through these very quickly. Here's just some other folks that I was able to share the gospel with, some folks working outside on their farms. Here's another little mosque. Just right outside that mosque, here's a little home where I found this family. This little guy on the left-hand side happened to be able to speak a little bit of English, so it was good to be able to talk to those folks. These are just some pictures here from outside of Ankara. Show you a little bit about what Turkey looks like. Here, this is my last day in Turkey, just heading out to these little villages, kind of doing the same thing, just spreading out little gospel tracts. Just show you a few more of these pictures. And then my last meal that I had was in this restaurant where I was able to share the gospel with these folks. And everybody reads those tracts. We'll skip through France, make this fairly quick. This is just a little city outside of Paris called Chantilly. I was able to spread a little bit of the gospel tracts there. This is a little silhouette of a statue outside of, this is a horse stable there, several centuries old, but beautiful castles in this area. One of the things inside this castle was really awesome was this library of these really old books. One of the things they had in this museum was a manuscript from the Pentateuch. You can see, I don't read French, but this was basically found in a synagogue back in 1840. This is just some of the woodwork inside there. This is just a trip that I got home from a few weeks ago. This is in Paris. This is a gentleman that has a restaurant just up the street from where we stayed. We made friends with him. He lives in France. His family's from Algeria, so he's a Muslim, and was able to share the gospel with him. These are some Jehovah's Witnesses that I was able to talk to in Paris. One of the things that I did this time was outside of Paris, was out and was able to just put some gospel tracts in these mailboxes. Actually put one in the mailbox in front of this big old mansion. And this is actually in Holland. A gentleman that was playing music for money gave him a few euros and a couple gospel tracts. These are the ladies that were at the counter of the hotel where I stayed, and I was able to give them a couple gospel tracts. These are the two of the guys from Turkey that I work with that I've been able to share the gospel with. Neither one's been saved. This is just at the last exposition that I was at. I was able to witness to this young lady. As it turns out, she's French speaking from Cameroon, Africa. And she's already saved. Praise the Lord for that. I'll skip through this. This is a gentleman that I used to work with at GE over in Shanghai, China. God put us together, and I was able to share the gospel with him. And after about a year of witnessing to him, he got saved. And the Lord actually brought him to the U.S. a few years back, and he got baptized in our church down in Belford, Calvary Community Church. And he sent me this email a while back. This is obviously his family. We've been praying for his wife, Louisa. And one Saturday I was at work, and I like to put FBN on the radio while I'm working. And I've been looking for a missionary in Shanghai to put him with. And after several years, I was just one Saturday listening to FBN. It was their missions weekend. And one of the missionaries there was from was going to Shanghai, so I was able to get in touch with that brother and put him in touch with this gentleman's name is Carl here. And you can see what he says. He's been praying for his wife. He just wanted to let me know that his wife is going to church with him now. And that was a blessing. I don't know if she's been saved yet. Of course, one of the greatest things about traveling is going home. Yes, coming home. I would like to praise the Lord during my trip. I was able to hand out a lot of gospel tracts. This gentleman bowed his head with me and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. This was in Scotland. It was obviously at the car rental agency Avis. And his name is Andrew. I like that name. It's my son's name. And so I pray that we can help Andrew find a good church home. And that's it. I'd like to end with just a little bit of a kind of a summary of this thing and hope it's a blessing to you.